And on the line I have Caroline Fay, St. Francis Paul Head of Social Justice. Good morning to you, Caroline.
Good morning.
Okay, before we talk about fuel allowance and deficits and that, still looking for volunteers, and there's an annual appeal, of course. So give us all the details of the Vincent de Paul, how people can help.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on for us at the moment, I suppose. The big thing that we're doing at the moment is our annual appeal. So kind of once a year, we generally go out to the public at Christmas and ask for your help. And that's the help to, you know, we're going to visit about 100,000 families this year, excuse me, and we would expect that we'll be helping an awful lot of people over Christmas who are struggling to get by. And the only way we can do that is with the help from our donors. So that's the first thing. If people feel like they can support us, they can go to svp.ie, and there's a number of different ways that people can do that there.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking for volunteers, I suppose, and at this time of year, mightn't be the right time exactly for people. People are very busy at the minute, but in the new year, people might be making resolutions and things like that, and it might be a good idea. We have lots of different opportunities. Our shops are always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for people to do visits to people in their homes, and full training and everything is provided at that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the details will be on our website. But I suppose what we really wanted to talk about today then is the high cost of energy. And people are facing huge bills, I suppose, in the run-up to Christmas. And, we always get kind of the weather starts to get bad in January, February. People have had big expense over Christmas, and then they start opening energy bills and getting a shock there sometimes as well.
And if it's anything like last year, I think we had 10 months of a winter last year.
Well, it was a very, very hard winter. And then with the drought in the summer as well, you know, like there was kind of extremes there. And it's always difficult for people who are in lower incomes to manage outside of the ordinary, really. And one of the things that we've just taken a look at, we've looked at the pay-as-you-go meters that a lot of people are using now. And they're great in lots of ways because they help people to budget, I suppose, and to manage their energy costs. So that, you know, instead of getting a big bill every 2 months, that people can kind of pay a little bit along the way every week or every few days and keep a lid on the energy costs.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found during the recession, when things were very, very bad, huge numbers of households were being disconnected from their electricity and gas because they couldn't afford to pay the bills in one lump sum. So these pay-as-you-go meters were kind of a solution to that. But we've looked at it now, and I suppose for a lot of people who would be on them, they're actually paying a premium for that service, I suppose. So, you know, if you can sign up for the direct debits and the online billing and things like that, you can kind of get a few discounts off an energy supplier. Whereas if you're signing up for the pay-as-you-go meter, the unit rate can be higher and you can be paying a standing charge as well. So you could be paying maybe €150 a year extra over somebody who might be using the same amount of energy, maybe just doing it with a direct debit and that.
Yeah, I don't think, Carolyn, I don't think a lot of people know that because when you get the leaflets through the door, it's all this free business and free installation and all like that. So there's this
and
hidden cost there.
Here as well, you know, I mean, you look at one company might be offering you a discount to sign up, somebody else is offering you free units and all the rest of it. So it can be quite difficult to compare. But really, I suppose what we'd say to people is, you know, do look at all the costs. I mean, because the pay-as-you-go meters are a great budgeting tool, a lot of people on low incomes might take them on. And unfortunately, of course, we know people on low incomes tend to pay more for everything, you know. But you can say to the energy company, if you're in difficulty and you want a prepayment meter put in because you're struggling to pay the bills, some of the companies will give you a discount.
Mm-hmm.
And that's information that we want people to have as well. So,
okay.
You know, rather than maybe signing up at the door to something, maybe call your energy company and say, look, I'm finding it hard to pay the bills. Will we think about getting in a prepayment meter, that kind of thing.
Okay. And is it a case as well that where you were talking about people, if they're with regular companies and agencies, that that maybe been getting cut off by using these meters, a lot of people are disconnecting themselves because they
can't
afford it.
Yeah, that's right. So self-disconnection. And that's one of the things, because the cost of energy has gone up so much, there's been a few increases over the year. And what we're finding now is that people, you know, if you do a €20 top-up, it doesn't go as far as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
People will just kind of be stuck then for that extra time at the end. So people do self-disconnect, and we'd be worried about people who are, you know, maybe people with poor health, people with children or older people living in homes that are not adequately heated. And that's, you know, it's very important for their health and their well-being that they're able to heat their homes adequately.
Mm-hmm. Is it getting worse? It seems to be getting worse. I mean, all the talk about the economy and how wealthy the country we are. But is it getting worse?
Well, I mean, for fuel poverty, three things are happening there for households. So you have low income, high energy costs, and poorly insulated homes. Now, we know that a lot of people who are living in private rented accommodation are living in very poor quality accommodation in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time now, because of the housing crisis, people are afraid to say to the landlord, look, can you look at putting in more insulation? Can they look at, you know, sealing up doors and windows to make the house a bit more energy efficient? People are afraid to go to the landlord for anything. in case they put up the rent or they decide they're selling and things like that. So from that point of view, because we've so many more people on low incomes in private rented accommodation, things are getting worse because they're often paying a top up on their housing assistance payment maybe as well. They're paying extra for the energy costs. The house is hard to heat, so they don't even have the comfort of that. So I suppose for some people, things certainly are getting worse. Now, you know, for other people who've managed to maybe get jobs and that sort of thing, things will have improved. But the cost of housing is causing huge, huge problems for people. The cost of rent, the cost of, you know, not being able to find somewhere to rent, and the fear of becoming homeless, which is something that we hear about an awful lot at the moment.
And the strange thing, it seems we're talking about energy, is that with all the talk of environment and the planet and all this, it looks like there's going to be heavier taxes on any kind of fossil fuel, which would be used for heating.
Yeah, and again, it's people on low incomes and people who maybe don't have many other options when it comes to heating that are going to pay the most for that. So it's really important that we do meet our climate commitments, because if we don't, it's poor people living across the world who are going to suffer. But it can't be at the cost of people who are struggling here either. So we have to, you know, we have to look at things like energy efficiency and retrofitting homes before we start putting taxes on bags of coal and things like that, which people are relying on to heat their homes. We need to make the homes more energy efficient first. So people can reduce their energy usage.
Yeah, I mean, the simple thing like the old briquette has gone crazy price. Not like gold ingots now, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, everything is going up in price. And, you know, because the homes are hard to heat, you have to, you don't get the comfort levels out of it either.
And if people are sort of on the allowance and they got an increase in the budget, but that's not coming in till March, is that
what it is? Yeah, that's being in March, I think. Yeah, so all the social welfare increases that were announced, and there was a few social welfare increases announced in the budget, they'll be kicking off in March. They do make a difference to people, but because the cost of everything else is going up, it's kind of eaten up those increases. You know, if your rent has increased, if your cost of your energy has increased, those social welfare increases, while they're welcome, aren't going to make the difference that we would like them to, you know.
Okay. And obviously, like, in any sort of discomfort, I mean, whether it's food or heating, adds to, you know, a deficit where kids may be trying to study, all sorts of things. And that's why children are getting involved in the appeals that are going out from the Vincent de Paul as well. A lot of the schools.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, we've huge support, I suppose, across. And I think part of the reason support from the public is because everyone knows, you know, there probably is people in your community who need help, and we're always there for those people.
Okay.
It's kind of a way. We found during the recession that people were very good, even though a lot of people were struggling then. You know, people did continue to support us because they knew it was going locally and helping people locally to get by.
How much do you think it dilutes the facts? I mean, when you hear, as I say, about the country being one of the top five richest, and a lot of politicians saying how well we're doing, and it's great coming out of recession many, many years ago. And as a matter of fact, things are worse now than they were 10 years ago when we did have a recession. How does it, as I say, dilute the facts for people out there in the course of you trying to get funding and stuff like that?
Yeah, like it can be, because as you say, the discourse is, you know, we're all supposed to be doing well and we've nearly had full employment and all the rest of it, but it doesn't deny the fact that so many people are struggling. And it's a good thing that we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world, because that means that we can actually do something about the problems we're facing. But we do need, you know, government policy to be going in the right direction. So what we see government policy doing is that they're just supporting people in the private rented sector, but they're not delivering real social housing units for people. You know, so that's a mistake in our view. And unless that's rectified, unless we can get the housing thing sorted, people are going to continue to struggle. No matter, you know, we know that there's a lot of people who are in jobs who are struggling with poverty as well. So more than 100,000 people in poverty have a job. But the job might be low paid. They could be working part-time hours. They could be working on certain hours and not sure from 1 week to the next what their earnings are going to be. But all their costs stay the same. So that's why people are struggling as well.
Yeah, and what happens as well is a lot of pride comes into it for a lot of people, and the Irish seem to suffer more than most. And when people maybe go to their families, maybe a mother, father with two kids visit their parents for their dinner on the day and still coming home to a cold house in the evening, and they don't admit it. Well, what would you say to people in that sort of situation? Is there anything they can do at all?
I mean, I suppose call for help. You know, we do, it's very to make that call, to ask a charity for the things that you're not able to manage. But we are there as a listening aid, non-judgmental support, so we'd say that. A lot of the time people don't like going to them maybe, but they are there as a support as well. Because I suppose, you know, especially for people, I mean, if you have the family support, it does make a huge difference. it is good to be able to go to, you know, your parents' house for the dinner or get a lend off your parents. And that, we know a lot of people are doing that on a weekly basis, borrowing money just to make ends meet before a wage or a social welfare payment comes in. But we would say, and people who don't have that support, anyone who needs help should really come to SVP for help. That's what we're there for.
Okay, I remember many years ago, St. Vincent Paul has always been there, and I'm sure that people that worked there at the time would be saying today that they thought the job would have been a lot easier 30, yeah. 40 years later, yeah. And unfortunately it's gotten worse. Yeah. Is there still, but I do remember them going around, I remember there was one guy who lived near us, and they used to have the old bag delivery of coal, one to each everywhere else, and when you see this, the one bag being taken off. A lot of people say, oh, that's the Vincent de Paul. Is there still a bit of a stigma attached to that now, or thank God has it gone?
There is still a stigma associated with it, like, there's no doubt. I mean, people are very private and they don't want people knowing their business. And, you know, that's what we try and do. I suppose we try and be as discreet as we possibly can because, you know, we don't want people to be embarrassed or to, you know, that sort of thing, because it is a very hard thing to admit that you're struggling. We're coming up to our 175 in Ireland next year. So we're actually older than the state, you know. And I suppose when the original Vincent de Paul members were joining 175 years ago, I wonder what they would say about things now. In a lot of ways, things have changed because we do have a good welfare state there. You know, we do have supports for people without jobs. We do have supports for people parenting alone. We do have supports for children. And we recognise the importance of tackling poverty and tackling the housing problems. But we're just not doing enough. We can do better, you know.
Okay, and all the help you can get, as you were asking there, for volunteers. But anyway, people can help, of course, can go onto the website and look for all the details of how they can help. Right. And, of course, the annual appeal there with the church and goes around as well. It's been a pleasure talking to Caroline. Happy Christmas to everyone there. Keep up the good work. That's all I can say. And I just hope things maybe change and we'll try and be optimistic about things.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much, and thanks, and happy Christmas to your listeners as well.
Thank you very much, Caroline. Bye-bye. And that's Caroline Fahey, St. Vincent de Paul Head of Social Justice.